Atlanta United's color analyst and host of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, Jason Longshore. And our conversation with Jason is brought to you by Salomon Brother Jewelers. The world is watching greatness. Celebrate yours at Salomon Brothers, Buckhead, Alpharetta, Sharpsburg. Jason, good morning. Thank you for joining us. We have been getting our World Cup Team of the Day every day for a couple months now. We've had so much anticipation for the World Cup. It's finally here. How excited are you now that we finally have this massive event underway?
We finally have games to talk about. That's what's cool about this. I mean, all the buildup is fun. There were a lot of different stories coming in, which we always see with any big event, any time before the Olympics, before previous World Cups. People are going to pick at different things, whether it's tickets, whether it's travel. This is all normal. Now we're talking about games. And we saw two really good ones yesterday. And hopefully the games today, especially the one tonight, can live up to all the hype.
Yeah, and a lot of games to come. And I want to ask you about just the scope of this World Cup. And I want to do it my own special way. So you have WrestleMania. That's good, right? But WrestleMania 2, they have it in three different cities with three different main events. So with the World Cup, not just one nation, not two nations, but three nations, and the largest World Cup that we've ever seen. Just kind of break down what this means to see the expansion of an event that already had a lot of pomp and circumstance attached to it, and obviously a lot of rabid followers.
What I really love is that you're seeing teams get here for the first time, and the game is ready for a team like Cabo Verde, like we're going to see here in Atlanta on Monday, a team that I think can get out of the first round and be a big surprise. You're seeing some teams that we haven't seen in a long time get back into the tournament. And the game is just at a point worldwide where you're going to have billions upon billions of people watch every match during this tournament. This is the one thing, even more than the Olympics, this is the one thing that worldwide everybody is talking about. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday in our city, it was amazing going through downtown before FanFest got really started and seeing people in Mexico jerseys, people in just all kinds of jerseys, but a ton of Mexico fans going to the Fan Festival at Centennial Olympic Park. I watched the game at Brewhouse Cafe, my usual hangout spot in Little Five Points, the OG soccer bar in Atlanta, packed early, packed before the opening ceremony started. It's just such a uniting event in the world for people to come together and talk about it and all the roller coasters that we're going to go through over the next month plus of great games, of controversial games,
of
amazing goals, amazing saves, all of those things that we're all going to be talking about each and every day.
Jason, I was reading, believe it or not, an article about U.S. men's national team's chances and the tournament. It's like 13 stats that prove why they will win. Well, I'm not going to go that far, but let's talk about where they stand, and I think it's Group D, and what are their chances of maybe winning that group, getting out, and making a run in the World Cup?
I think they win the group. I think they should win the group, and it's not an easy group, though. That's the point that it's kind of hard to make it, honestly, because this group is the tightest group in terms of FIFA rankings. So you don't have an easy game in it, and that can be a challenge. You've got three teams that are mostly evenly ranked, and I think the FIFA rankings are decently accurate in this. But the U.S. is going to be favored in every game, not by a lot. So every game is tight, but you go in as the favorite. The U.S. has beaten Paraguay. They've beaten Australia in the last 12 months. Turkey hasn't been to a World Cup since 2002. They are very talented, but they've always been very inconsistent at the national team level. But if you start well and you get Paraguay and you get Australia first, if you start well and build momentum, that's what you're looking for from this U.S. team. No, they're not a favorite to win the World Cup. And that's okay. There's only eight countries that have won the World Cup in the history of the tournament going back to 1930. It is not easy to do, and there are a lot of great soccer countries that we associate with the game that have never won the World Cup. So I think the idea of you have to win the World Cup, no, we'd love to. You're not quite there yet. You're the number 16, number 17 team in the world. I think the FIFA rankings just updated this morning, and the U.S. is 17. We don't go into a college football season with the teams that are ranked 16 and 17 and say they have to win the national championship. We're realistic about it. And I think we need to be that here. you're getting into a point now with soccer in this country where you're producing more and more talented players. The depth of the national team pool is really deep. What you want to see happen, and this is the part that there is a little bit of magic to it, you want to see the global superstar or two or close to it come along in a generation. And that isn't always easy to make happen or predict. It happens with an Argentina. It happens with a Brazil. It happens with an England. You get a cluster of great players that come together. What I like that the U.S. has done from a global soccer perspective is you're producing more and more talented players. So your ground floor has gotten higher and higher. This is a good team. You're hoping that Christian Pulisic, you're hoping that I think Sergiño Dest could be a really big player in this group. You're hoping that Folarin Balogun up top can climb that ladder and be close to global superstars in this tournament to put a good group of players over the top and make a deep run.
Well, and as you're talking about global superstars, I am curious in your opinion, Jason, which American player of those you're naming, like who could become a household name by the end of this entire tournament?
Christian Pulisic is one because he's going to be a goal-scoring leading figure in the attack. And we talk usually household names are going to go to the attacking players. I'll give you the other one, and we've been talking about him a lot on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, on my Soccer Down Here platform. Alex Freeman is just everything you want in a defensive player. The son of Antonio Freeman, the great Green Bay Packers wide receiver. He is big, strong, fast, and smart, and he can score goals as a defensive player, but he can also defend anybody. He can win the aerial duels. He can run with guys. He can body guys off the ball. He's really forced his way into this team. He developed in Orlando, came through their development program, their academy, then their second team, then their first team. He moved in January to Villarreal and took a really big bet on himself to go to Spain in a World Cup year, knowing he was going to have to fight his way into a lineup with a team that had been, that was in mid-season. And he did. And he played consistently at the end of the year. In the two pre-tournament friendlies, he was as good as anybody in the U.S. shirt. Now, he's a defensive player, so he might not get some of those headlines that he should. But in terms of overall importance and what he can do for this group, and I think what he brings and his backstory and all of that, he should be a star coming out of this tournament.
But Jason, let me ask you a question that I feel like you and I share kind of a unique bond, if you will, a kinship on this station, because obviously when people think about soccer in Atlanta, they think about Jason Longshore. I hope when they think about baseball, maybe they'll think about me at some point. But when you get the opportunity to do it like we have for so long, to cover a sport that you clearly love, you have passion about, and you get to share that with people, and you have an event like this in your own backyard, it doesn't get any bigger than the World Cup. How do you to have this experience as well and have it be right here at home in your backyard?
It's pretty crazy, to be honest. It's you would have never guessed as a kid that you'd get a World Cup in Atlanta. I mean, I've written about it on Soccer Down Here, and you tried to get the 1994 World Cup, but You think back to 1994, you didn't have a place for them to play. You had what was Grant Field at the time, and it was the old artificial turf and had the big crown down the middle of the stadium, so you couldn't play World Cup games there. Atlanta Fulton County Stadium was being used by the Braves. You didn't have the Olympic Stadium yet. That wasn't a possibility anyway. So you missed out on that.
Yeah.
And now you have a stadium that is world-class, is the best of the American stadiums that are hosting this. You have a stadium that's going to wow every single person who comes into it, every single team. And Atlanta's become, in our lifetime, one of the great soccer cities of this hemisphere. So it's earned its spot into this. And for me, it's like what I tell people when they ask me if I have a dream job. Like, no, because I couldn't have dreamed it. It didn't exist. Like, it literally wasn't there when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get who I think is going to win the World Cup, Spain. We're going to get them for their first two games in the tournament starting next week. We're going to get a World Cup semifinal that on paper, according to the seeding, would be England and Argentina, which is one of the most amazing sports rivalries in the world. We could see England and Argentina in knockout games before that. If things go to the, according to the seeds, we would get the Lionel Messi versus Cristiano Ronaldo elimination game in the round of 16.
Wow.
two of the all-time greats playing against each other in what could be their last World Cup match. Mm. It's unbelievable what we have coming up over this next month plus.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, we're here for it. We're
and enjoy yourself, by the way, if I hadn't already made that clear.
Yes, I will definitely be doing that, along with trying to grab sleep here and there and doing Atlanta soccer tonight, every single night.
Yeah, what do you have coming up on the show tonight? I know it's nightly at this point.
Yeah, tonight it's 6 to 8. We're up at Mazzy's in Duluth getting ready for the U.S. match. So a lot of World Cup preview. We're going to hear from Madison Cruz, who is over at the mill at Etowah in Cherokee County. There are watch parties everywhere tonight. You can go to the Fan Festival downtown. You can go to all of these different events, Decatur Watch Fest. Anywhere you want to be part of this tonight, get out there and do it. Like, this is going to be a special game tonight. And what we're going to try to do on AST is give you some of the things to expect, some of the players to watch, some of the things to be excited about with this U.S. team as they get their World Cup journey started against Paraguay.
Jason, got 20 seconds. Who's the group of death this year?
I think, honestly, it's the U.S. group because there's four teams in it, and all of them should get to the knockout rounds, but one of them definitely won't. And I think because the group's so tight, whoever finishes in third place might not get enough points to get out of the group stage either. So I think it's the U.S. group that's the group of death.
Wow. Good stuff. Thank you.
Well, make sure to check out Jason Longshore at Mazzy's tonight in Duluth, 6 to 8. U.S. takes on Paraguay tonight at 9. We're looking forward to it. Jason, we appreciate the time this morning.
Thanks, y'all. Anytime.